How many of you are looking for God to bless you right now? How many of you right now? Hallelujah. When you get a chance, as well as all the other messages that we deliver, this message too will be on our website, which is located at www.bhbcstl.org. And this morning we're going to conclude the series entitled, The Church Built Upon the Rock. The Church Built Upon the Rock. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church. Whose church? My church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And this rock that he was referring to is himself. That means that the church is not built on money. It's not built on political influence or celebrity. The church is built on Christ and him alone. And I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how talented you think you are. The church will stand on Jesus or it will not stand. Amen. It is built on Christ, not magnetic personalities. It's built on Jesus. It's built on the rock. Well, with so many churches, so many denominations, so many doctrines, what should we look for in a church that is centered on Christ? There are seven qualities that you should see in a church. If you want to know if you go to a real Christ-centered church, there are seven things that you can look for. Number one, a church built on the rock, which is Christ, is a born-again church. Let me say it again. The church built on a rock is a born-again church. Number two, it's a spirit-filled church. Number three, it is a praying church. Number four, a giving church. Five, an evangelistic church. Six, a growing church. And seven, it is a Bible church. That's what you should see when you go to a church built on the rock. Now, I know you'll see a whole lot of other stuff when you go to churches today. I'm not going to even try to pull back off of that statement. Some honor God, some doesn't. Amen. I'm just going to let that one out the bag right now. But when you are a part of a church that is centered around Jesus Christ, you should see these things. And it's not about advertising it on a website. When you come into the house of God, this should manifest itself as qualities and characteristics in the members that you interact with. Amen. Today we're going to talk about a Bible church, and there's very few of them today. There's very few Bible churches. There's a lot of churches, but there's very few Bible churches. And calling yourself a Bible church no more makes you a Bible church than calling yourself a Christian makes you a follower of Jesus Christ. Anybody could put Bible in their name, slap it on a building, on the marquee of a sign, and say, we so-and-so Bible church. That don't mean that what goes on inside that building is related to the Bible. And a lot of folks have exploited the Bible for reasons other than to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got a lot of folk calling themselves Bible this, Bible believing, and Bible that. But you need to understand something, that just because you heard somebody say, we about the Bible, doesn't mean that they really know what they're talking about. And you have to separate the myth from the madness to get to the truth. Because there's a whole lot of foolishness out there that's being preached and being taught and being promulgated. And you got to say, whoa, wait a minute. Is this real? Is this right? This don't look right. You got to know in your spirit what thus saith the Lord. And just walking into a church that says we so-and-so Bible church, honey, you got to look a little deeper than that. Well, don't y'all call y'allself Bible church? We do. Look a little deeper. Amen. Look a little deeper. Just don't join a church because you heard the preacher and he sounded sure enough good to you. You got to look a little deeper. You like their choir and they're going to be recording and you want to get in on some of that. No, no. You got to look a little deeper. Your girlfriend go to that church. You got to look a little deeper. Amen? Yeah, don't go to the church just because you want to see and be seen. You need help. I need help. We all need help. We need to go to the place where healing and where transformation can take place. Bible church, a church that is built on a rock. Well, what does a Bible church look like? Well, number one, its members love the word of God. They proclaim the word of God. A Bible church defends the word of God. It trusts the word of God and it obeys the word of God. You want to know if you belong to a Bible church? Don't worry about the name on the front. Go inside and look and see if you see these characteristics. Do you see these qualities among the pastor and its board and its leadership and among the teaching that takes place in that church? How do they treat you? Do they speak to you? One pastor once told me, I went to a church, they were speaking in tongues, but not speaking to each other. Got a lot of stuff going on these days. Amen. I want to go to the church. If you don't know me, at least say hi. Hallelujah. Amen. Did I steal your seat? My God in heaven. Church loves the word of God, a Bible church that is. And those who love the word of God, they do two things. Listen, they do two things. Number one, they make time to read and study the Bible every day. Number two, they apply the principles of the word in every area of their lives. Now, all of us are busy. We're living in a hurried and hectic world, and very few of us, those who are independently wealthy or you've been able to retire and you got plenty of time, that's different. But for most of us, there really is no time to sit down and read and study the Bible every day. But listen to me, when you love something or someone so much, you make time. Amen. When you were in love with your spouse, those of you who are married, you made time. Those of you, amen, who are in love with some significant other in your life, you make time. Amen. When I was a young person and I called myself in love, I spent all kinds of hours on the phone. Hours with an S. Had all kind of time for the person that I so-called was in love with. When you're in love with the word of God, you spend time with the word of God. And to read and study the Bible, listen, every day means you must give up doing something else. You must give up doing something else. Sounds like discipleship class in here. You cannot expect to get from God that which you don't even strive for to get in your own life. The word of God has the answers, but if you up here just simply sitting around doing nothing, nothing's going to happen for you. You've got to say, okay, I'm going to get one less hour of sleep. The dishes are going to stay in the sink. The clothes, the dirty clothes are going to stay in the hamper. I'm not going to get to watch my favorite morning news channel. I got to get up. I got to get up. What time you got to be at work at 7? You probably need to get up at 5. I'm not talking to Blessed Home, I'm talking about folk who love the Bible. I'm talking about people who love the Bible. I'm not necessarily talking to all the members of Blessed Hope. I'm talking about people who love the Bible. You gotta be at work at 7, you probably need to get up at 5. So you can take a shower, you know, amen. Don't appear before God all smelly and all that. Clean yourself up and pray. Not Jesus wept, but pray. And then seek the face of God. And a person who loves the Bible will start their day with the Bible. I know that there are some Christians who do not believe that it matters what time you read the Bible. I'm here to tell you that nothing could be further from the truth. Just like breakfast is the most important meal of the day, getting up early and reading your Bible is critical to your spiritual growth and development. What good is the Bible going to do you before you go to bed? You going to dream about it? You got to get into that word in the morning time. This idea, ooh, no, I'm going to just read it right before bed. And what good is that going to do you? You're going to sleep. Amen. You're treating the Bible like a midnight snack. Listen, the Bible is meant to be a living document that guides you through life. But how's that going to do if you done lived already today? The only decision you got to make is going to bed. What good does the Bible? You don't need the Bible to tell you it's time to go to bed. Your body will do that. But you need the Bible to tell you a whole bunch of stuff that may happen to you throughout the day. So you want to get up early in the morning and make sure at the start of your day, get into the Word of God. And listening to a preacher, whether it's me or anyone else, is not a substitute for sitting down and reading the Bible for yourself. Amen. What I'm giving to you is a one-size-fits-all message. In other words, I'm preaching to everybody in here and those on the internet. That's who I'm preaching to. But you need a word from the Lord for you. And the way you get that word is you have to sit down. You have to pray. You have to spend time in the Word of God. Not only does God speak directly to you, but you can also develop the insight to determine what preacher to listen to and what preacher to avoid. Just getting in your car and turning the radio on to some Bible preacher is not a substitute for reading the Bible in the morning. Well, pastor, that pastor, he's just preaching the word, but he ain't preaching to you. He's preaching to whoever turns on the radio. Let the Bible preach to you. Get that word that's for you. Don't just get the word that's for everybody else. You didn't go to Walmart, and if you are an XL, you buy a triple X. You wouldn't go to Walmart, and if you don't like brown purses, but that's all they got is brown purses, what you gonna do? You're gonna go to a store that has your purse. And when you read and study the word of God, you're getting a word for you. Instead of grabbing the word off the rack. Because that's what you're doing in church. That's what you're doing when you turn on the radio. You're getting that word that's on the rack. Everybody gets that. Just walk in and get that. That's on the rack. But what about what God said to you? About a situation and what have you. The only way you can get there and get that word to you is by taking time to listen to God, by reading the Bible and praying and seeking His face. But it's not enough just to read the Bible. We got too many folk who do that already. Walking around, big old Bible in their hand, full of sin. Got that. We got that already. We got too much of that. Want to quote a scripture to me and ain't nobody, No, we got that already. That's what's wrong with the church today. That's why it's so fruitless. And if we weren't in this sanctuary, I would say some other things, but I have to be very careful to all my Sunday school folk. But the church is a mess. Because you got folk waving the Bible, but they ain't living nothing. They ain't living nothing. And listen to me, listen. It's not enough to read the Bible, you got to apply it in every area of your life. James says, a man who heareth the word and doesn't do it, he's like a man who looks in the mirror. He knows what he looked like, but he walks away and forget the image that he saw. And you don't want to be a hearer and not a doer, but you want to be a hearer and a doer of the word of God. Amen. And that's what reading the Bible will help promote. You've got to understand something, my friend, that God's word is not meant to be known intellectually only, but it is meant to produce life change. It is meant to alter the way you make choices and your view of the world and your view of your marriage and your relationships. The Word of God is not meant to be an academic study. It is meant to be life direction and guidance in everything that you do. That's the Word. And you can apply it. I know it's an old book, amen, but you can apply it. Sin is old as well, by the way. But you can apply it. Since we're talking about old, man, that's an old book. So is sin, honey. Since we're talking about what's old and outdated. Sin is old. And as we study God's word and apply it, that's when growth comes. When you study it and you apply it. Now, I want to teach you how to do that. Do I have a few minutes to do that? Teach you how to apply the word? Can I do that for a minute? In applying the word of God, first of all, it begins with prayer. Asking God to do this, and it's one thing. I'll make this very, very simple. Lord, direct me in a way that is consistent with your word. Do not do this. Do not take a Bible verse and speak it to a situation. That's a mistake. That's you speaking and not God. That's not applying the word of God. That's some kind of paganistic voodoo in which we call down things. That's mysticism. That's not Bible. And if you know a place in the Bible where the saints did that, ooh, I'd love to see it.
Come on now. Go through preaching.
You say, well, Pastor, how can I pray the word of God and its application in my life? Ask God, who is the author, to do in you what he has done among his saints and direct you in a way that will glorify him. Well, how will I know that if I hear from God, it is of God? There's a very simple way for you to know that. If it glorifies and accommodates your flesh, it's of you. If it costs you something and you don't feel like doing it, it's God. Let me break it down this way, and women, don't get too mad at me. It's just an example. You're looking for a mate, and God sends you a man. He don't look all that good, but he loves you. God sends you a mate. He is so fine, but he's never on time. Who do you think God wants you to have in your life? Really, that's the whole idea. That's the analogy. I know you're not going to say amen, but listen to me. Generally, God will speak in a way that your flesh will not like. Well, Lord, am I through studying? I finished here. No, study some more. That's what God will say. Your flesh will say, ooh, that's enough. To God be the glory. You're lying. Listen, you know God, study until your eyes fall out. If it gratifies this here, which God has already condemned, he's already gotten rid of this. He's only interested in what's inside of this. He's going to speak to that part of you, that component of your existence. He's going to speak to this heart because he wants to glorify himself. And so in order to do that, he got to put this flesh on the cross. That's why he will never speak in a way that will glorify and gratify this stuff. That's how you know. Lord, can I go to this party? Uh-uh. He ain't going to tell you yes. Why would he do that? Lord, I'm looking to go to the lotto and I just need some numbers. He ain't going to give you no numbers. For what? Amen. He ain't going to give you no numbers. All this other foolishness. You already know it's wrong. You already know it's wrong. And God is going to speak in a way that brings glory to him. And if you're reading his word every day, he will speak clearly and the door will be open and all you got to do is walk on through it and don't mess it up. That's all you got to do. Just don't mess it up. He gonna open the door. Just don't mess it up. Don't close it on yourself by doing something dumb or doing something foolish. Amen.
Amen.
How many of y'all love the word?
Amen.
I know you do. I believe you. I believe you. See you at Bible study Wednesday night. I believe you. I'll see you this Wednesday night. Amen. I'm so glad Lost is over. I can get my members back. Hallelujah. I'm so glad Lost is over. It was on Wednesday night, seeing. I lost all my members. Milt, I lost them all, brother. I lost all my members. Otis would come to church. Won't nobody be here at prayer, but me and Otis and Brother Emmett and Tony, who is with us now, Pastor, and Pastor Marlon coming in, looking for Penny. And let me say, I got 5, 6, 7. Okay, I got 7. Look at my church now, but I got 7. Lost took all my members. They all got on that island. They were all over there. I'm so glad that show is over. Thank you, Jesus. Now I can get some of my members back. Hallelujah. I think the Lord ended that show so I can get some of my members. He felt sorry for me. He felt sorry for me, Pastor. Go send me my members back. Thank you, Lord. A Bible church proclaims the Bible and nothing else. And the central message of the Bible is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible church avoids get-rich schemes, gimmicks, and slick marketing campaigns. You have never heard Blessed Hope Bible Church preach prosperity to you. You've never heard Blessed Hope Bible Church get on a trend and ride some wave from some other preacher from some other state, and we don't know what he does behind closed doors. You've never saw us try to take somebody else's program and inculcate it into what we do. We don't do that. We don't try to set up internet frontline stores and cause some kind of MLMs. What those multi-level marketing gimmicks? Don't do that in no church. Let me say it again. Church don't do that. Church don't do that. You don't need that for God to bless you and prosper you. I thought the cattle on 1,000 hills was his. Why do I need a gimmick? When my Father is God of heaven and earth. Earth is the Lord. The world and they that dwell therein. And now I got to find another way to put food on my table. And the Bible says I was once young and now I'm old and I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. But I got to run to some gimmick, some internet scam to try and get some money in my little pocket. Need to learn how to spend the money you got, honey. Oh, there we go. There's one. Bless you. Bless you. Hallelujah. And because the Bible church is always preaching death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, John 3:16, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9-10, Acts 4:12, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We preaching that all the time. It appears to many that the Bible church is out of date and out of touch with society. I went to this Bible church and they weren't, you know, the music, it ended like in 30 minutes. You know, I'm used to the music going on and on and on. We're a Bible church. Members bring their Bibles to church. Bible church. And it's not the Bible church that's out of touch. It's society that's out of touch. And see what happens, young people, when you go with your parents' values to college and they say, why are you so out of touch? They're the ones who are out of touch. They're the ones who are out of touch. And the wages of sin is still death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. I know sin looks good, but it ain't good for you. And you cannot tell me that there are no consequences for sin. That's not what James says. Once that sin and that temptation get in your heart, it produces something. And what it produces is death. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you of the flesh, you'll reap corruption. But he who sows of the Spirit will reap life eternal. Be not deceived. Don't you fool yourself. God ain't to be made a fool of. You will reap what you sow. So that's Bible. That's Bible. Bible church preach holiness. I got so much Kajic and Pentecostal in me. See, I can't get that out of me. Holiness is how I was raised. Amen. If I had a bottle and I was a spiritual baby, it'd have holiness in the milk. And I don't know how the church has gotten away from that message to preach about something called money. As if it found a new gospel. But the church must never deviate from the central figure of the Bible, who is Jesus, and the central message of the Bible, which is the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 5. Every Christian knows that. Well, I'm tired of that message. Are you tired of sin? How can you be tired of that? I wish some of us would become more in tune with those who are addicted to something and get addicted to God's word so we can be blessed. Bible-based church does not have to be relevant, just faithful to God. We proclaim the word of God because of its ability to transform lives. Listen to me, the Bible can reduce the crime rate. It can reduce the divorce rate. It can reduce the suicide rate. And it can reduce every other rate if we preach it. If we preach it, the Bible can still change lives. Listen to me, I know what I'm talking about. I'm a living witness. The Bible can break addiction. The Bible can break yokes. The Bible can change a heart. And I don't care how messed up and convoluted that heart is by sin, the Bible can save anybody. Well, Pastor, you don't understand what I've done. Don't need to know what you've done, honey. God already does. And the Bible will change you. The Bible will sanctify you. And the Bible will save you if you let it. We believe the Bible and we proclaim the Bible because the Bible can heal broken hearts. The Bible can heal broken lives. The Bible can heal broken homes. The Bible can heal broken communities. The Bible can heal a broken country. The Bible can heal a broken humanity. The Bible, there's healing in the Word of God. We're running around with all these solutions trying to find a way to make society better. I got one. Everybody come to Jesus. Look at the shape our world is in today. All of the confusion and all of the madness of the days in which we're living in right now. Our nation is $13 trillion in debt. We've got an oil spill off the Gulf of Mexico that we can't even stop. We've got all these other issues. Somebody trying to bomb Times Square. And if they ain't trying to bomb it, they thinking about it. I think God is calling his church to revival. I think he's calling for his saints to get right and repent. Oh, that's an old word we haven't heard much of. Turn around from our wicked ways and stop serving sin and stop serving money and stop serving Mercedes and start serving Jesus. That's what the Christian is all about. Hallelujah. How many of you believe the Bible can change anybody? The church also defends the Bible from falsehood and error. What is falsehood? Falsehood is an attack on the claims of Scripture. That's what falsehood is. Error, on the other hand, is a little different. It is a mistake in the interpretation of the Scriptures, which can lead to misunderstanding. Falsehood, that's somebody who just attacks the Bible. And then there's error, that's somebody who loves God, they love the Word, but their understanding has been clouded by who knows what. They just need deeper understanding. Amen. And we got a lot of folk like that, and that's why the church exists, because we must defend the Word of God in those instances. Let me give you the top attacks that come against the Word of God. The greatest attacks, some of the greatest attacks, rather, on the claims of Scripture. Number one, the creation. The creation. Man came from a monkey. Man didn't come from God. He didn't, huh? Well, if man came from a monkey, why is the monkey still eating bananas? If we came from him, why ain't we eating the bananas and he on the cell phone? If they've been around longer than us. No, I'm just saying. Why isn't it that the monkey isn't smarter than us if it came before us? I'm just saying. The virgin birth. The Immaculate Conception. Number three, the deity of Christ. That's the big one. That's the biggie right there. The deity of Christ. Is Christ God? Answer, yes. That's why he receives worship. Number four, the resurrection of Christ. Did he have a physical bodily resurrection? Yes, he did, and so will we. Number five, Christ as the only way to God. I think God has enough sense to know how to get to himself. Christ as the only way to God. What kind of God would put his son on a cross and then create a new avenue? I mean, I know I ain't as smart as God, but surely God would have to have known that. The Trinity. The Trinity. Just because you don't understand something doesn't mean it's not true. You don't understand why the sky is blue. Well, science can explain it. Yeah, but why does it do what it does? Yes, mathematically you can explain color and all of those things. Of course you can. But why is it that color? Why isn't it red? Math genius. Everybody else? I love math. I'm not the guy who is trying to minimize science and math and intellect. In fact, I promote it. Amen. Amen. I'm in school like everybody else. I love school. I'll be very, very frank and fair about that. But there's a limit to it. And then there is a spiritual realm that supersedes it that we can't always explain. And the Trinity is one of those things that the church just doesn't have an explanation for. I'm sorry. And you might say, I know somebody who can explain it. I'm sorry. You need to repent. We don't fully understand how three can be one. There is no Bible or book. We don't know. We don't know. And somebody who's out there telling you this is how, boy, I'd love to meet them. So I can call them a lie. But we need to understand there are some things hidden from us. And fully embracing and understanding the Trinity is one of those things. But it doesn't mean it's not real because the Bible has too many scriptures to evidence that. And number seven, the Bible is the only word of God, the inspired word of God. Those are some of the greatest attacks. Let's look at some errors. Some errors. The possibility of losing salvation. There are those who will tell you, once you're saved, you're not always saved. If you backslide, you're going straight to hell. That's not true, my friend. Now, you might go through hell, but you're not going to hell. Amen? You can lose your money and you can lose your mind, but you can't lose your salvation. Because, well, wait a minute, let me you know, get a little quiet in here, because some folk might think that, listen, I come out of this. I'm not some outsider talking about something I don't know and know the place where I've been. I've got the T-shirt, my friend. Listen to me very carefully. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and read that scripture where it says, when you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. For you to lose your salvation, that seal must be broken. Who can break the seal of God? You are saved whether you like it or not. You're going to heaven whether you like it or not. But if you play God, knowing that you're going to heaven, you'll go through hell on your way. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You're not going to play this game in which, well, I gave Jesus my life, but I'm going to go out and party, and you will reap what you've done. You'll get what the sinner gets. Well, I'm God's child, and he will smack you more than the sinner. And you'll watch the sinner prosper while you flounder. Well, why is it God is good to me? Because you're a mess. You need to get your life right. You can't play this thing with God. I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. He'll take you through hell on the way. Amen. Don't you mess with your salvation thinking that just because it's certain does not mean that he will not whoop you and chasten you and deal with you. But your salvation is for eternity. The necessity of baptism for our salvation. The necessity of baptism, and I'm talking water baptism, for salvation. If I'm in a hospital, been a sinner all my life, and I give my life to Jesus, but I can't leave the hospital, do I go to hell? I mean, Jesus don't have the power. He needs to bathe me before he can receive me. Not my Jesus. Why do I need a bath to be saved? My God. The sin is not on my flesh like dirt. It's in my heart. And there ain't no water. Oh, y'all not listening. That can get here. That's why Jeremiah told the saints at Judah, he said, no, there is no lye soap, that acid-based soap that'll take the skin hair off your skin. We wash you in that, but we can't get rid of what you got, Israel, your backsliding nation. Going down in the name of Jesus, that's cool with me. Going down in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that's cool with me. But you ain't got to go down in nobody's name. Hallelujah. Yes. For God to save you. He can save you from a jail cell. He can save you from anywhere. He can save you from a crack house. He don't need no pool. The requirement, emphasis on the word requirement, of tongues to be spirit filled. The requirement. You got to do it this way. Would you please read 1 Corinthians 12 where it says, do all speak in tongues? That's a rhetorical question to mean some do, some don't. Some do this, some don't do that. And Blessed Hope does not vilify or condemn those, but you cannot bring your program up in here and impose it on everybody. Well, you got to see over at the church across the street. Don't care about church across the street. Care about this Bible right here. You got to understand something. I ain't here to be like so-and-so. I don't want to be like Mike. I want to be like Jesus. I'm trying to work this word. I'm trying to work the word. And we've been down that, and I've got some saints who can bear witness. We have been down that road in sin and still doing it, down that road. Well, my cousins speak in tongues, and their life is perfect. Look a little longer. You need to look a little harder. Folk who speak in tongues get divorced just quick. People who don't. Had somebody who goes to a Baptist church, got pregnant by somebody who goes to a Pentecostal church. True story. Pastor, I'm having a baby. Who's the father? Oh, he goes to so-and-so apostolic faith. I said, now that is just weird. Well, that's a uniting of the doctrines, at least. I don't know. You're supposed to laugh way more than that. Listen to me. Don't fall prey to slick willy gimmicks that look good on the outside. Let me keep going. Name it and claim it. If that was true, all of y'all have Mercedes. And wouldn't be working. I ain't going to work today. I claim the business. It's mine. I'm going to walk in to my job and tell my boss, get under me, Satan. Go call your co-worker Satan. You know all this fool. I'm going to rebuke the devil out of my boss. Are you sure? You sure about that? Yeah, I'm a claim it. I'm a claim my promotion. Do you even show up on time? Do you overextend your lunch break? Every time the boss gives you something, you always complaining. don't care how much you claim it. You ain't getting no promotion. You better try to save your job. Amen? Listen to me. Let me give you a little business sense. I know it's running late, but let me ask you this. How many of y'all working? Good. Look, if you go away and the boss don't miss you, prepare your resume. You should be the most missed person on your job. Boss should miss you. Boss shouldn't say, take another day off. You do that, use that extra day to find you another job. The boss should be calling your house saying, are you okay? Because you're valuable. Name it and claim it. You better get off that train. Listen to me, it ain't headed nowhere. You made somebody rich, but it wasn't you. Oh, I could get real in here, but again, we got to be Sunday schoolish. But boy, I wish I could really be myself. But I got to be very, very delicate. Because I got some things to say to some folk, but I'm going to leave it from now. We are God's heresy. We are God's heresy. That came out of primarily the black experience. Out of Atlanta, Georgia. That foolishness. Let me tell you some things about God, since you're going to claim to be him. God never gets sick. And wait a minute, but this is how we're going to break it down to him. God is self-sufficient, so there's no need to collect an offering. Because you God. So tell your church, since you God, a little God, no need for an offering. I got it covered. See, a God who needs me to pay him ain't no God of mine. No, I'm just saying. A God who needs me to pay him, to pay his bills. I thought you was God, though. Pay my bills. See how foolish we can get? But it's a good money sermon. And number 7, the deification of Mary and other saints. I don't hate Mary. I love Mary. She's the mother of my Savior. I ain't taking nothing from Mary. But she's not my Savior. And she's not my Savior's Savior. You say, you're anti-Catholic. I'm pro-Catholic. Let me be very clear about something. But when I pray to Jesus. And if you want to pray to somebody other than him, that's your business. But I need my prayer answered. So I'm going to pray to somebody who's qualified and capable of answering that prayer. Hallelujah. Those are some of those. And there's a whole lot of stuff. I've written a whole thing on. There's about 50 of these things. Running around the church, gotten people all confused. Another one, of course, is the King James only. See, I didn't even throw that one up on the screen. You got folk who think King James is outridden. That just came from heaven. That ain't come from no heaven. King James only. If it ain't in King James, it's not of God. Don't you know the King James, when it was first translated, had 80 books in it? Didn't get down to 66 until it came to America. And it was ordered to be translated not out of the original Greek and Hebrew manuscripts, or the most recent rather, because we don't know where the originals are, out of Latin. Out of the Latin Vulgate Bible is the King James. And let me just say this, now y'all go get quiet. But the King James, as good and as wonderful as the Lord is my shepherd, and John 3:16, honey, I got hundreds of verses I could run through that speak to my heart. Amen. Amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. I love my King James. But there are certain nuances in that ancient language, which is going on 400 years old. Next year, the King James will be 400. And you trying to work it like it came straight from heaven. And it came straight from King James, and not LeBron James, but the other King James. And if you're going to stay with your King James, and you're going to hug it and nurture it and polish it off and all of that, that's fine with me. But get you a New Century Version as well and read it alongside and get some clear understanding. The New Century is the King James of the new millennium. Get you a New Century Version, NCV. Go get you one. And read it alongside your King James, since you got to have your King James along with our other things like, you know, pork and all this other stuff we like to eat. This old stuff we used to eat and we still eat it. And that will help you. But don't think that there's no other version that you can use and say, King James only, that's the word of God. No, it's not. It's a translation. And we've gotten better at it. And the NCV is the best translation out there. In fact, I will go on record and say it's the best translation ever. And if you don't have one, get you one. It will bless your life. It's amazing as I study it. You can get it on your BlackBerry. It's free. On your cell phone. It's free. Read it. It will bless you. Well, let's continue. We're going to wrap up now. The Bible church trusts the word of God. And I'm talking about how it governs its affairs. Amen. Decisions are not based on personal opinion, rank, title, or position. The church does not look at the bank account to see if we can do such and such. The church looks at the word. The priorities of the church are not directed by a trustee board. In fact, we don't have a trustee board. It's directed by what this book says. The word of God directs the affairs of the church. The decisions are not made by Reverend Dr. Bishop so-and-so. It's made by the word. Period. And so there's nobody who walks up in here and say, I think. Bible ain't interested in what you think. In my opinion, Bible don't want to know. Bible already got one. Well, I count. Not as much as the Bible do. Yeah, you're special. Not as special as the Bible. Amen. We love you. You special. You all that in a bag of chips. But the Bible's more than that. Amen. And we govern ourselves by the Bible, not by preacher, reverend, so-and-so, not by deacon, so-and-so, not by the trustee board that never goes to Bible study, but only business meeting. We don't do that stuff up in here. You only at business meeting, never at Bible study. You couldn't be in leadership at my church. I'll write you a letter. Go anywhere. What, Pastor? You heard me. You can't lead up in here and not attend my Bible study and make decisions and stand around me as my cohort of counselors, and I never see you except when it's time to counsel me. You won't counsel me long. I've got a group of men who counsel me all the time, who pull me back, who push me forward, who get in my way, who challenge me. But they here. They working. They serving. They in the word. But are you going to step up? Go, you ought to do it like this. Okay. Where was you Wednesday? Huh? The last 6 months of Wednesdays. I get like Donald Trump. Amen. It don't sound like no church I go to. We ain't trying to sound like no church you go to. Amen. Don't get mad. We'll get mad. But the point is, you need to understand, it's about the word. The Bible is the head, and we rely on it. Just like the nation of Israel, they look to the Urim and the Thummim, the lights and perfections, and the high priest would carry a pouch with these gemstones in it. And David, when he would go out to war, he would consult the priest and say, what did God say? And the priest would reach in his pouch and he would grab these gemstones. And if God would cause the gemstones to light, that means go fight. But if the stones didn't do anything, it meant go back home. And the word of God is our Urim and Thummim. It is our lights and perfections. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we seek the word of God for its light to point the way that we should go. You don't fight unless you get the right advice. You don't launch a ministry and you haven't consulted the word of God. You don't put yourself out there if you have not received divine direction. You don't go forward until God says when. You have to stay in the word. Bible church, stay in the word. And if God say wait a year, you wait two or three or however long he say wait. Well, we got to move now, and I got this program. I just came from this conference. Hey, let me give you a word. Unless the Lord builds the house. Come on, bring your program. You just got fired from that Holy Ghost convention. Come on, bring it on up. Unless the Lord builds the house. They who built it, they labor in vain. Y'all with me? God's got to build your house. Let him build your house. Bible church obeys the word of God. And the word of God asks us to do three things. Number one, preach the gospel to everybody. I mean everybody. Even to them folk over in Afghanistan, especially to the people of Afghanistan. To those terrorists, especially to the terrorists. Everybody. Love the Lord completely with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's all the Bible's asking you to do. And a Bible church obeys the word of God. Amen. It does those three things. It tells everybody about Jesus. Bible church does. We ain't got nobody else to talk about but Jesus. Amen. We love God. We strive to. We try to love our neighbor as ourselves. Sometimes neighbor gets on your nerves, but we still got to love them. Now, some of you may be saying, you know, Pastor, I done came to church looking for an answer, and you done talked about the church. That's good for the church. What about my life? Let me talk about your life. What Christ will do for the church, he'll do for you. If you build your life on the rock, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you think that Jesus was just talking about this building when he said, upon this rock? You know who he was talking about? He was talking about you. If your life has fallen apart and if trouble is on every side and you've done some things that you're not proud of and you don't know whether or not you're going to make it, build your life on Jesus. Build your life on the rock. And if you build your life on him, you will stand. Stand what? Stand anything. In this economy that is going crazy, nobody knows what direction it's headed in. Is the market going up, down, which way it's going? Honey, don't worry about it. Are you on the rock? Don't worry about your test scores. If you've done your best, give it your best, give it your all, and keep on stepping in Jesus' name. Student Academy, I don't take tests well. Do you pray? Yes, and pray before you take the test. I'm having trouble with tests. Anoint the test in the name of Jesus. Come against any doubt or distraction in your mind and pray that God will give you victory to remember what you did. But let's get something right. Let's make sure you studied for the test. Don't be going into no test unprepared asking for an anointing. Honey, you ain't getting nothing. You need to understand, if you've done your best, you turn off that TV and you done studied all day and you're going to walk up in there. Now you just need God to bring to your remembrance the things that you have done so that you can have integrity with God. He'll answer your prayer. But don't be thinking, oh, I'm going to go to church tonight and you got an exam tomorrow. You stay home. And one friend of mine, when I was in high school, he was called to preach, and we had an algebra test the next day or something, geometry, I don't know what we was taking. It was only 40 years ago, and we were taking this test, and I said, man, I got to go study. I can't make it to church tonight. He goes, don't worry about it. I said, why? He said, just have the Holy Ghost. He'll help you. I said, uh-uh. I got to study. He goes, well, I'm gonna go to church. And I'm going to look to the Holy Ghost. And he's going to anoint me. He flunked that exam. Huh? I'm going to get me the Holy Ghost. See how we like to just, we don't want to take responsibility. Don't want to have no discipline. We just want to give the Holy Ghost all this stuff and go, I don't feel like studying. So I think I'll just call on the Holy Ghost. You know what? You're a fool. Ain't no Holy Ghost in none of that. Ain't no Holy Ghost in that. Ain't nothing but your lazy flesh trying to get away and get over on God. You need to take your behind back to your room, open your book, pray in the name of Jesus that God will clear your head, study, study, and study some more. Quiz yourself. Ask your mama to quiz you. Then go back and quiz some more. Ask God to quiz you. Quiz yourself. Then step in. All this foolishness, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. I know the Holy Ghost, honey. I've written about him. My master's dissertation is on the Holy Ghost. I know a little bit about him. But one thing I also know is this. You cannot abuse the presence of God by laziness. I'm looking to God to give me a job. Give me a resume. I'll circulate it. I'm working on it. You ain't working. Pray for me, Pastor. No. What did you say? I said no. Because God won't answer it. Why? Because you're lazy. What I'll pray is this. I didn't say I'm not going to pray for you at all. I'm not praying that God will give you a job. I'm praying that God will deliver you from laziness. Because you don't need a job. You need to quit being lazy. Well, but I need a job. Where's your resume? I'm working on it. Uh-uh. That's not the God I serve, my friend. God will take that Indian who worships some other deity and raise him up. Get a job to him. Because he's ready. God will take that Muslim. You don't want the job? He'll raise him up. Yeah, but I'm shouting in the name of Jesus and I'm just speaking in tongues and where's your resume? I'm working on it. God will give the job. I'm saying God will give him the job. And you wonder, but he don't serve my God, but he working. You wondering why every time you go to the hospital, the people who are sweeping the floor is named Johnson, and the folk who are doing the doctoring is named something with 20 letters in it. They working there. Ain't no God trying to punish them, you and bless them. Somebody is studying and somebody is not. Somebody working overtime and somebody watching a little bit too much football and basketball and golf and whatever. And we got all this time to fish and play. And there's somebody in Wash U and somebody at Omso got a book cracked open. And you want God to move them out of the way, take your lazy behind and put you in. He ain't doing it. You'll let your behind go broke in Jesus' name. With your tambourine and your Bible. Yeah, you can go broke. He ain't studying you. Yeah, but they serving the wrong God. They're going to hell, honey. Give them a break. But you know what? They act like they saved. Their academics look saved. And you want God to punish them while he bless you and you party all night long. Or you in church all night long. You go to church too much. Stay home. Don't blame Blessed Hope. We have no afternoon programs. Don't have nobody anniversary. Don't be looking at me. Oh, we got pastors. No, you ain't either. And if we do, you go home. Bible Church understands that living for God is not a one-time ecstatic, euphoric, emotional experience, but it is the practical application of placing the flesh in submission and subjection to the will of God in everything that we do. And I could go on all day, but I know I've gone too long already for some of y'all. Y'all ready to go home and start barbecuing? God bless you. But there's so much about the application, and next month we're going to deal with it in a series entitled Victory. It's all about the cross. But you need to understand something. You're not going to get a blessing living like a sinner. while enjoying the relationship. Amen. Y'all not listening, but you don't ask God for nothing you ain't willing to put some passion for. Amen. You got to show some skin in the game. What you putting in? Even the drunks on the corner know enough about that. We gonna get some liquor. What you putting in? I mean, even they got enough integrity to understand that principle. How you know? I used to preach to them. Many of them are deacons in the church. You quote me, I'll quote you a scripture back. Drunk as they can be. Listen, I'm just trying to help you. And I want to pray for you. If you've been scamming God, you've been scamming yourself. Been playing a game, you've been playing with yourself. Bow your heads. Let's stop playing. That's what we're going to do. We're going to stop playing and get right.